Bonjour, c'est Lucie et j'écoute Nutty Bites.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nuke Joss, and today we've got an episode of Nutty Bites for you. With me, as usual, we have...
Hi, I'm Still Tech.
And our regular co-hosts...
Hi, it's Jen.
And I'm Jason.
From the Nerds with Voices podcast. And you may not have heard his voice in a while, but he is a returning guest. Welcome to one of our very good friends.
The Nutty Bites superfan himself.
Mr. Shane.
Yes. Hi, Shane.
Hi, you.
See, we get to say hi, Shane, and he actually responds in real time. It's awesome. So we are going to be talking. This topic was actually brought to us by Shane, and I love it. We're going to be talking about sequels that are better than the original, which, you know, usually the rule is sequels are never as good, but sometimes they're better. And we are recording on Twitch for the first time while we do this. So if you are listening, please, if you have anything to say, you can put it into the chat and I will include it. And it should be fun. So if you hear me bring up other opinions, that's why. So who wants to start us off? Shane?
Oh, Shane. Yeah, please start us off. This was your topic idea. This is your fault, so to say. sequels that are better than the original. Go.
Well, I'm going to have to go with the obvious. Wrath of Khan.
Ah.
That's on my list. Star Trek 2. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So why is that better than the original?
Well, you mean better than Star Trek The Motionless Picture?
The Motionless Picture.
20. Well, okay, so Sid Mead just died. Sid Mead, if you don't know, was the designer responsible for what we know of as the future look of sci-fi. Everything from cyberpunk to Blade Runner to the design of V'ger from the original Star Trek to the Sulaco from Aliens. All of this was drawn by the same guy named Sid Mead, and he just died. So with that, I have to say, Sid Mead, V'ger, great design. Did it really need to be 20 minutes long as we scroll down the side of the ship going, boo?
I will say Wrath of Khan does have the absence of 40 minutes of V'ger noises. I would love to see somebody edit the motion picture down to an episode length, because I think you could get like anywhere from 20 to 40 minutes of a tight, I'm just going to power through, of a tight episode, and it would be really good. The problem is that they're showing off their special effects for so much of the picture that it's boring. And I'm sure it was amazing the first time. You know, if you were in theater watching it the very first time, I'm sure you were just absolutely blown away with what they were doing.
But I was one when it came out, so I think I was blown away by shiny colors and flashing lights.
I did not see it in theaters at 2 years old, no. But yeah, The Wrath of Khan is a tight, tight Star Trek movie.
You are big on the word tight today. You have now used that like 8 times.
I do that. I pick a word and I just go with it. That is the word of the day.
It is the cromulent word of the day. So, Shane, Star Trek 2. Okay, so we can talk about what's wrong with Star Trek 1, and we'll just put that aside for now, because I could go for days. What made 2 better? What made 2 so good?
Well, let me just say, it's the only Star Trek film I have twice on Blu-ray. I have 2 versions of the start of Wrath of Khan on Blu-ray.
All right. Okay.
But yeah, it was just so much better than the original. First of all, you got Khan, one of the best original series villains.
Absolutely. We get Ricardo and Ricardo Montalban.
And you get Shatner screaming his name.
One of the most memeable things on the internet. Yeah,
they definitely went Shakespeare with this one. You're right, you do get Ricardo Montalban's bare chest.
If I were T. Morris, I'd be just doing that drop-in over and over again, and nobody could speak right now.
Oh, and Chris in the chat says that apparently they just released the director's cut of Star Trek 1 that apparently is a lot better.
All right. Well, you know what? We'll put that on our list to watch because, yeah. I agree with you, Shane. I think that the motion picture... I also, in my notes, wrote all of the Star Trek movies after the motion picture. But I believe that
even better than Insurrection?
I like Insurrection. Insurrection is still better than that. I'm going to go as far as to say this. Nemesis is a better viewing experience than the motion picture. And Nemesis is my least favorite.
Ooh. Ouch.
Except for the motion. Because
now, I'll give you a thing about Nemesis. We do get space vampire Ron Perlman. So,
okay.
I mean, it's and
that's why it's better, because at least you can riff it, you know, while you're watching it. You've got a lot to really talk about. And if you're angry at something, at least you can just get your anger out and yell at Tom Hardy on the screen, you know.
While we're talking about Star Trek movies, though, we have to talk about the rule of Star Trek sequels.
Generally, yes.
The Star Trek sequels are only good if they're an even number.
Although I will say that Generations was a good movie.
What was that, 7?
Well, yeah. It's the first of the TNG.
Yeah.
Yeah, see.
But of the original 6, 2, 4, and 6, I mean, when they go back in time to save a bunch of lousy whales.
It's amazing.
That's an awesome movie.
And who would have thought space whales would have been that entertaining?
I will say that I think that Star Trek IV is the, of the original crew, Star Trek IV is the most entertaining of the movies. But I think for like films and overall, I think Wrath of Khan is the best.
Alameda nuclear whistles. I mean, come on. So anyway, but two, absolutely amazing for a bunch of things. Ricardo Montalban reciting Shakespeare, blowing up ships all over the place.
Just Ricardo Montalbaning all over the place.
Yeah, watching Walter Koenig get a bug in his ear.
I mean, Spock dying. Like, that was huge. That
I was trying not to bring that up.
Sorry. Spoilers. It's okay. Just watch the next movie.
But hey, you know, and to be
it's okay, Tech. He died within the first 5 minutes.
And to be fair, you know, I liked Search for Spock just because it gave me more Leonard Nimoy. More Nimoy.
His soul was the most
human.
Search for Spock does have DeForest Kelly like acting it up and going, oh, Shatner, you think you can chew the curtains? Oh no, wait till I've got Spock's Katra in me. I'm gonna go berserk.
That what they call it.
I feel like he was channeling his inner Tim Curry. Like, he was literally like angry beavering the scenery. Like, he was just it's, you know what, sometimes you can go full Tim Curry and it's fine because we love Tim Curry.
Agreed. All right, Jen or Jason, who wants to step up?
Go ahead. Okay, so I have two because one is not mine.
Well, you got to pick one, and then we'll come back around.
Say this one's from Raven.
Oh, all right.
Oh, okay.
Why isn't she here?
Because she is actually with her family. She's at family time.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I guess that's allowed.
She wanted me to let you guys know. Terminator 2.
Yes, that is also on my list. That is the first one on my list.
I'll be honest, I've never seen the original.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Oh.
You're good.
That was an R movie from the 80s. Little techie wasn't allowed to watch such things.
to be fair and honest, when it comes to iconic Arnold roles, it's good. But again, his role in Judgment Day is better. And all I've got to say for everyone out there who does have seen who remembers the end of Judgment Day.
I haven't seen the new Terminator, so I can't really say anything about that one. But, you know,
I watched a couple. I tried to watch one of the TV shows, and then I don't know. I don't like that much.
Sarah Connor Chronicles, it got better, but by that time it was too late. It's kind of like Star Trek Enterprise. Like, the Enterprise got better, but by the time it got better, it was too late to save it. Judgment Day, it gives you everything you liked about the first one, romp and stomp and action from Schwarzenegger, but also get the angry gym football coach from The Faculty being a liquid man. And any movie with Sarah Connor or Ripley is just amazing.
I'm sorry. Of all of his roles, it's the gym teacher from The Faculty, not what's his face from X-Files.
Nope.
Okay. Not-
Jason brings up The Faculty at least once.
What's
a month.
His name? Something Patrick?
Oh gosh, I can't. Oh, I can't think of his last name to save my life. But he played Doggett in X-Files.
Yeah.
Yes.
John Doggett.
Yeah, mind you, we don't like to talk about that part of X.
Okay, but there were some good episodes.
Yeah.
But
Back to Terminator.
Robert Patrick. That's it. I didn't even have to look it up. It came to me.
Terminator 2. We get handheld Gatling guns. I need your clothes and your bike.
Oh, that movie's so good.
Oh, it is. It is so good. We get a chase scene down that L.A. river through the concrete there. We get
every L.A. movie ever.
Yeah. So good.
Oh, gosh. And we also get that. That's the one with the tractor trailer, right?
Like, yeah.
Where he's on the hood of the car, and they copy that scene in the new one that just came out, where we have the Terminator that can like clone himself. Like, they copy that scene where he's on the hood of the tractor trailer, but it's still not as good as that one.
See, I think if you've seen one Terminator, you've seen them all.
Yeah, and this is the one to see.
I agree.
To be fair, yeah, this would be the one to see. Like, if you had to pick any of them,
but again, maybe the new one is, you know, good.
I mean, from what I've heard, it's one of those movies that you watch it and you're like, okay, that was a movie.
So I watched the one with Daenerys in it, and that one was actually pretty good. I know there's another one after that.
Emilia Clarke, you mean?
Yeah, Emilia Clarke, that's her name. So
there's Terminator, Terminator 2, Judgment Day, Terminator 3, something. Then there's the one with Christian Bale.
Genesis?
I think that's what it is, maybe. Yeah,
Genesis spelled bad.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the one where Arnold Schwarzenegger's the aging Terminator.
I like the one with the aging Terminator. That's the one with Emilia Clarke, because there's actually two. There's original Terminator, yeah, where he's young, and then there's aged one.
Yeah, they went back and they used that same technology they used to make Tupac a hologram. And They brought back Arnold as he looked in the original movie. So that's kind of cool technology, and it doesn't look that bad.
No.
But I'm sure if I go online and read comments, there's going to be 17 pages of people squawking, Uncanny Valley!
It's like, dude,
Uncanny Valley.
The Terminator series. Like, get over it.
What kills me about people complaining about their technology is I think they forget that they have literally resurrected people from the dead using this technology.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Computer, we're gonna get James Dean in a movie 40-50 years after his death. Like,
we could have a whole episode though talking about the ethics of that.
Oh my gosh.
Because like, are actors going to have to put in their will stipulations whether or not you can bring them back?
Hey, they could be like the Beastie Boys and be like, look, you cannot use me for this, whereas the Beastie Boys are like, hey, you cannot use us for ad promotion or do whatever. Can't do that, because Beastie Boys are awesome.
True. They one of my favorite groups of all time. So I just wanted to say about the Terminator, one thing that the Terminator original movie had going for it is it was the proof of concept for VCRs and renting movies, because there's a 7-year gap between the two movies' release dates, because it was a box office flop. And then thanks to...
Which one? One or two?
One.
Yeah.
Thanks to video rentals... This is pre-Blockbuster, people. Thanks to video rentals, it was the number one rented movie in all of America, and it made so much money just from rentals that they said, we got to make another one. And two is so much better, and if you're only going to watch one Terminator movie, that's all you need to watch. If you want to watch them all, it's fine, but it is leaps and bounds ahead of all of them.
Absolutely. The franchise is, by the way, Terminator, Terminator 2, Judgment Day, Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, Terminator Genesis, Terminator Salvation, and then Terminator Dark Fate.
Okay, I didn't watch Genesis and I didn't watch Dark Fate, but I've watched every other one, and I watched most of the Sarah Connor Chronicles. I will say that when I had a film study class, we did have to study the motorcycle chase scene and then fight scene on the bridge from Terminator 2. And that
to study just, what about it?
It was the way that the scene was shot and composed.
Hmm.
So it was all about you've heard of the rule of threes and using the positive side of the screen and the negative side, and that, like, you know, we're always going to put villains on the left side and heroes on the right side, and heroes will be on the top part of the screen and villains will be on the – they use a lot of that.
Sure.
It's a lot of egghead stuff.
To be honest and fair, it's James Cameron at his best.
Yeah.
I mean, and you got to think, like, he – in the 80s, he knocked it out of the park. I mean, you've got
–
Stop reading my thoughts, man.
We're going to get there. We're going to get there.
As a matter of fact, why don't we go there now?
Sure.
Tech, I'm not going to take this from you. Why don't you say what we are all thinking.
Because there's movement all over the place. It's game over, man. We have to talk about aliens.
Yes.
Now, this being said, Alien, Ridley Scott, the original, is a 10 out of 10. It is the original sci-fi big monster horror story.
And it gave you, and I've been stomping.
Can I stop you right there?
Okay.
And we know
I'm
how
gonna to stop you
go.
Right there.
All right, Shane.
And you're going to hate me for this.
Okay.
But the first Alien film I saw was Alien Resurrection.
Ooh.
This was back in 97, 98.
So you guys got Ron Perlman trying to get laid by Sigourney Weaver.
Okay, wait. I'm going to stop. I want to make a prediction. Shane, are you about to tell us that that's your favorite? Because that would not surprise me.
No. Well, it was at the time. The only reason why I watched it was because I had a massive crush, and I still do, I had a massive crush on Winona Ryder.
Oh, yeah, okay. Like every other human on the planet at the time.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay.
Winona Ryder.
When I originally saw Alien, I thought how slow it was, and I didn't like it at all.
That was filmography in the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I've had 20 years to clarify my position. It is a great film. I'm not going to deny that. But at the time, back in 1997, I really disliked the film.
Now, to also be fair, that first Alien film is a lot of Geiger gushing, because it's like, look at all these awesome Geiger things moving.
The beauty.
What we're saying is, in effect, it was not as badly done as Star Trek the Motion Picture,
No. But
it was the same core problem of, we want to show off this art, so we're going to slow down for it instead of
You know, and Ridley Scott likes a slow movie. Look at Blade Runner. Blade Runner is not that action-packed either. But Alien gave us a wonderful universe, and then they were looking to do... They weren't even looking to do Alien 2. It was James Cameron. Arnold couldn't do Barbarian. What's his name?
Conan.
He couldn't do Conan. Or he was doing Conan, so he couldn't do Terminator 2 or something. He couldn't do Terminator, so they needed a project to do while they were waiting for Arnold. So they decided to do a sequel to Aliens. They make Aliens, which is 11 out of 10 in my book. This is one of the perfect Hollywood movies. It is dumb. It is funny. It is horrifying. It's everything. It is just a stupid thing to sit down, crunch through a bowl of popcorn, and just waste your time. You are getting... Your life is not better for having watched Aliens. Absolutely. There is no redeeming qualities. You are not a better human being. You know, it's not Life of Pi.
Might be a better geek, but yeah.
But it is one of the foundation documents that basically made me the grown-up that I am. It's one of the main reasons I joined the armed forces.
Because you wanted to be a giant, giant gun-toting person? You wanted to carry a real-life BFG?
No, I wanted to be a pwn. I wanted to be the sergeant with the permanent stub of the cigar in his mouth, always with a wisecrack.
Who doesn't?
Haskins, get over here.
And somebody wake up Hicks. He's like asleep in the drop. God, what a good movie. It is one of my troops years ago. This was many, many moons ago. I'm talking to this young soldier, and he said the craziest thing.
This is going to hurt.
This is going to hurt all of you.
So, trigger warning for all of us geeks.
Trigger warning.
And older people, this is going to hurt.
I'm ready
to cringe.
I quote the movie or something, and he goes, is that like from a movie or something? I go, yeah, it's from Aliens. You know, Game Over Man, shotguns, aliens. He goes, I don't know that movie. Is it any good? I go, oh my God, it's amazing. You need to watch it. And he goes, what year was that movie made? I go, 86, I think. He goes, movies that old can't be good.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Jan, can you say that again?
She wants you.
No. I just love the way you said it. Ah, hell. That was great. That's exactly what we're all feeling.
Oh, there was a lot of rage at that moment.
So much rage.
Because of James Cameron, you do realize that we have two of cinema's greatest female characters, right? Like James
Cameron. In two of our favorite sequels.
Yeah.
James Cameron is the brain behind Ridley and Sarah Connor.
Absolutely.
Ripley.
Yeah, Ripley.
Yeah,
Ridley's the director.
Yeah, that
so that I never saw it. I never saw Avatar, but isn't Zoe Saldana like the main character, the main Navi?
And even as a giant blue person, she's hot.
Yeah, well, duh. I'm sorry, blue just makes anybody hot, right? Like, look at Nebula. But
oh, Karen Gillan.
What the last thing I want to say about
Zoe
Alien...
Saldana's in that too.
Yeah, she is.
And hot.
She's hot as a green girl. So, sorry, I just started thinking about Star Trek, which Zoe Saldana is in.
I'm sorry, I was distracted. We were talking about Zoe Saldana movies.
So this episode of Nettie Bites is all about Zoe Saldana movies. Columbiana. Yeah, no. So
Columbiana's a good one.
Yeah, I know. Where was I?
Saw it the first time. It was called Jason Bourne. This time it was just done with a chick.
You remember when we saw it the first time? It was called The Professional.
Oh, right.
We'll get back to that later. Go ahead.
Was that Columbiana?
Yeah. Yeah. So, the last thing I want to say about Aliens is, and it shows the difference between the two directors. Ridley Scott makes art. James Cameron makes flicks. I mean, it is enjoyable. It is fun. It is amazing. He contributes a lot to science whenever he is directing, or often when he's directing. I mean, thank you for like deep sea stuff and asteroids and all the other fun stuff. But he's making enjoyable films, whereas Ridley Scott is trying to change you as a person.
Cinema.
Yeah, and it's more highbrow.
There he is.
But I'm going to rewatch Aliens a lot more than I'm going to rewatch Alien.
Absolutely, because Cameron made us sit down for 3 hours and enjoy Titanic. So.
And how many times did we all watch that? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I lost count.
There's a section on my VHS of that might be slightly worn.
just one section.
Just one part of the tape, right?
VHS, there was two.
That is very true. It was two VHSs.
It was two VHSs. There were times that I only watched the first half.
Speaking of sequels, when are we going to get a Titanic sequel?
Actually, you know what? I would not mind seeing The Adventures of Rose.
They have done that.
Have they?
There was a film called Titanic 2.
Oh, no. No. I would be willing to watch a movie about the Starship Titanic, which is a Douglas Adams book. And I would be willing to watch a movie about the adventures of Rose, because she did have like this amazing life afterwards.
Now, that being said, Rose, there was enough room on that door for Jack.
Yes,
but she should have died too, so.
Physics.
Yeah. But there's a whole series of YouTubes where experts break down movies, and we watched one, and it was an ER doctor who, oh my god, he's dreamy.
He is pretty hungry.
Sometimes it's distracting.
George Clooney? Just George Clooney?
No, it was like Malcolm Jamal Warner had like a super hot baby with, who did I say that it was mixed with? Mike Coulter or somebody? I don't know. It was
if Malcolm Jamal Warner and Lawrence Fishburne.
That was it. Malcolm Jamal Warner and Lawrence Fishburne had a super hot baby.
Who then went to medical school and became an ER trauma doctor.
Yeah. And yeah. Anyway, so he breaks down the whole scene and it's like, she's supposed to be dead by now. She's supposed to be dead by now. She's supposed to be, she can't actually do that. So, you know, it's a movie. Jen, what are one of your noms here?
Some people may not agree, but I think that Dark Knight was a better sequel to Batman Begins.
I think a lot of people agree with you. I think you're going to find less people that think that Dark Knight is better, Batman Begins is better than Dark Knight.
So here's a question, since you talked about that. What's the better sequel? Batman Returns or The Dark Knight?
As long as there's no bat nipples, I think we're all good that the rest of the series is pretty good. I like the Chris Nolan trilogy to me stands on its own. It's like the three pieces kind of smoosh together to make one big long movie to me. And
plus we got Michael Caine.
Huh?
And it's got Michael Caine.
And it's got Tom Hardy talking like this for a movie, because for some reason we're not allowed to show his face in anything he's in. I'm looking at you, Dunkirk.
Also, don't forget, he was in a mask for most of Fury Road.
Yes, yes. But you know what? Like, he wasn't wearing a mask in Nemesis, so the results speak for themselves, okay?
And I just want to know how you get baby Tom Hardy Patrick Stewart clone into this hunk of human being that is Bane. Like,
well, look at what happened to Christian Bale, how he went from the mechanic to Batman, and the difference there's like almost what, 50 pounds?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the machinist, right?
Yeah, the machinist, yeah. That's it.
Oh my, he's gonna kill himself doing that one.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, and look what he did for, is it Vice? The one where he plays Chaney?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not,
but
it's not a good.
It's not healthy, and it does hurt them. I know that Mila Kunis and Natalie Portman, after Black Swan, have had all kinds of health problems due to the amount of weight that they had to cut to look like anorexic ballerinas. Even I know Natalie Portman is saying that the weight that she's put back on is not going back on the same way now that she's after having going through that weight loss. I mean, it's just like you see this in professional athletes too. Weight cutting is stupid and dangerous and harmful. And I mean, it's a hell of a way to make a paycheck, but
you got to admit, like, I don't know, man, like some people, you know, the whole method thing, but he's fantastic. Like Christian Bale's made some things that are questionable, but I really enjoyed him as Batman, sides the voice. But I think that, you know, if you look at him, like when he does these roles, he goes into these roles and it's pretty darn good, which is kind of why I'm sad that his Terminator didn't do so hot. But I
think part of that was it was going to be doomed no matter what happened because of the drama that happened on set.
Yeah, when they filmed his meltdown there, did you ever see that one or hear about that one?
No. Oh, he absolutely loses it on a grip or a cater. It's just someone, one of the crew.
Somebody walked in front of the camera during one of the shots.
Or not even in front of the camera. I think he just walked in his eye line, like he broke the mood or something.
And being very method, he was in character filming this thing, and he had like an absolute meltdown and dropped a bunch of F-bombs and threatened
and
to kill
fired
the guy.
And yeah, he was like, you're off the set, get off now, I'm not filming with it. You know, it's like a whole, it's a meme. You can find it very easily. Unfortunately, this is what happens with some method actors.
But that whole trilogy was good, and that is a strong sequel. It's a strong series of movies, and
yeah. And to be fair, it is lesser because of the loss of Heath Ledger. Like, I think his performance in The Dark Knight, like, is one of the reasons why people think it will realize it's such a good movie because he's fantastic.
But I the problem is, I think that a lot of people inflate the performance, and a lot of people inflate Heath Ledger because he's dead. Now, yeah, it was good. I do like his portrayal of the Joker. He's not my favorite Joker.
He's not even the top two of my favorite.
He's not even
Joker.
In the like the top three of my favorite Jokers. I mean,
well, still number one.
Huh?
Mark Hamill's still the best Joker.
Right, Mark Hamill. And you know what? Here's unpopular opinion. Jared Leto actually did really good as the Joker. I kind of liked it.
Gag with a spoon.
Well, fine. Go ahead. But the thing is that there's many different ways to do the Joker.
I'll also say Zach Galifianakis' Joker is...
From the Lego movie?
Is better than Heath Ledger's Joker.
Oh, yeah.
To be fair, I know a lot of people had a problem with this movie, but Joaquin Phoenix in Joker
I haven't seen it yet. So Chris is asking about Jack Nicholson. And Chris, if you want to hear all about that, go listen. We've got two episodes. One of our first episodes is Favorite Batman. And we also talk about Favorite Joker. And then last year, we got the whole crew from the original episode back to talk about... was it last year? It might have been after the Lego Batman movie came out. We re-recorded that and talked about it again because while I don't think our Joker changed, but Will Arnett did become her favorite Batman.
Will Arnett is an amazing Batman.
But so we actually have two episodes where we go into it. And
sorry, Kevin Conroy.
Yeah, well, Kevin Conroy is amazing. And by the way, now we can say that Kevin Conroy, he's going to be like maybe my number two for Bruce Wayne's now, because I always said his Bruce Wayne was terrible. But in Crisis, spoilers, in Crisis, he plays older Bruce Wayne and he does a really good job.
Yeah, he plays older Bruce Wayne and his father, right? He plays...
I don't know. I've only seen like bits and pieces.
Yeah. Again, Kevin Conroy's fantastic. By the way, number one Lex Luthor and will forever be number one Lex Luthor, Clancy Brown.
Okay. You're allowed that opinion.
also, Clancy Brown is in The Mandalorian.
Yeah, Clancy Brown is amazing. But back to sequels. Yeah, Jen, I am going to agree with you. Now, you said Dark Knight, right? Not Dark Knight Rises?
No, Dark Knight.
Dark Knight. Yeah. No, I think that Dark Knight was an amazing sequel. I think that it made the entire franchise better. And I don't know. I mean, I know that they originally planned to have those three movies, but I don't know if they would have gone as far as they did without the success of that second movie. And on a personal note, Tech and I saw that on our honeymoon. That was a lot of fun.
The beauty of it is that it was one of those movies that allowed you to take something as stupid as a comic book movie and take it a little seriously.
Yeah.
That you can have an actor just absolutely act his pants off and show you something about humanity that maybe you hadn't seen before in the guise of a stupid comic book movie. And, you know, Heath Ledger did a fantastic job supported by an amazing cast all the way around. Still not my favorite Joker.
Really good. He's up there.
But I just really hate that there's these people that are beating themselves about the head and neck with like 2x4s and chains, squawking and shrieking about how it's the definitive Joker and everything afterwards is crap because that was the Joker and we have to worship. No. And, it was good.
And I'm pretty sure those people are all saying that about Joaquin Phoenix now, so.
Probably.
He does have my favorite moment of the Joker, though.
Was it the hospital?
Click, click, click. Yeah. Or making a pencil disappear. Oh.
I think one of the things, and I know this isn't the subject of this episode, but one of the things that I love about the Joker the best is every interpretation is different. And that is the beauty of the Joker, because if you read the comics, every time the Joker tells you his origin story or anything about him, it's different.
Yeah, there's only one origin considered to be canon, quote unquote.
Yeah, but no, there is no canon. We will never know. That's my canon. My canon is there is no canon. Because it's better that way, just like it's better not for the Klingons not to discuss with outsiders why they used to have smooth foreheads. We'll take that to my grave.
Oof.
So I'm gonna do another big one, another big sci-fi one, and say Empire is better than A New Hope when it comes to Star Wars.
Oh. Ouch.
Ouch, what? That movie's fantastic.
You disagree?
No. But I can't, but that's another trilogy that you can't split apart and talk about the three of them. The thing is that Empire ends on a down note. It's supposed to. It's the middle point of a trilogy.
Yeah, I've got a question for you then.
Yes.
If you're gonna treat each trilogy as a separate film, which is the better trilogy?
Oh, the original trilogy is my favorite.
But even then, the sequel trilogy is better than the first one, because 4, 5, and 6 is better than 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
So it proves our point that the sequel is always better, even if it came out 20 years before.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You know, I'm not wrong.
It's true.
No, you're not. And my thing is, when it comes to Empire, I think one of the reasons why I feel that it is probably the best film of the trilogy.
Ooh.
Is
controversial opinion.
It's because we get so many good things when it comes to the characterization of like Han Solo, Princess Leia, Lando Calrissian, Darth Vader, Luke. I mean, there's so much characterization in that movie, and it gives us that iconic shot of Chewbacca and Lando leaving in the Millennium Falcon with Leia and Luke and the droids looking out that window, not knowing what's going to happen. Like
wasn't done before that.
We get one of the greatest lines in cinema. I love you.
I know. Wait.
That I did not know.
That came later. we get Dagobah. We get Yoda. We get Lando Calrissian. We get Cloud City. Spoilers.
Luke, I am your father.
We get the biggest spoiler in all cinematic history.
Such feelings. You know it to be true. And we get
It's impossible! I'm still a whiny kid from a dust farm! Ah!
It changed cinema. and it changed the way that we have movies. Cinema. You're allowed to have your heroes fail because of Empire.
It lets us. It lets us know that you can have an unhappy ending. Because to be fair, most of our heroes are technically alive, but that's not a good ending. We don't know what's going to happen to Han Solo at the end of that movie.
Could you imagine, like, because I watched this as a kid, but could you imagine seeing that for the first time, being at least a little more aware than what I was as a kid, and never seeing anything like that, and seeing Han be put into carbonite? Like, what must that have felt like at the time? Because I can't remember. Because I was a kid when I watched it for the first time.
It gave us Boba Fett.
It did give us Boba Fett.
Who did nothing and died like a chump.
But it also gave us Mandalorian.
It gave us the Mandalorian, which, finally, the Mandalorians are in the light.
Yeah.
It gave us all of the extra characters that were only there to sell action figures. I'm looking at you, IG-88 and the rest of the bounty hunters.
Okay, but those action figures were so cool.
I know.
They were so cool.
I know.
Especially if you had the Darth Vader head that held them I did not have them. The boy down the street did, but I loved playing with them. Especially the Twi'lek, because
head tentacles.
Around. Oh, it's so great.
Now, that being said, it gave us Jedi.
Yeah.
Which is even better in my mind than Empire. It's like a staircase. 4, 5, 6. They each build on each other and they each get better. Look at what Jedi gave.
Is this because
us.
You love Ewoks?
It gave us Ewoks. It gave us the Battle of Endor. It gave us speeder bikes. A Death Star trench run done through the Death Star.
That Jedi does give us three things that are fantastic when it comes to cinematography. Mm-hmm. The speeder bike race on the forest moon of Endor, mm-hmm. the Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker lightsaber fight, that is the best one of that trilogy, and that trench run through the Death Star with the Millennium Falcon, and Lando Calrissian giving the best woo-ha ever.
Absolutely. It gave us a Rancor fight. It gave us
Rancor is pretty awesome.
It gave us all of the scenes
Solicious Crumb.
Jabba the Hutt. It gave us Solicious Crumb, the best puppet ever. The little dude sitting on Jabba the Hutt is trying to eat his tail. I love Solicious Crumb.
Hutt Slayer Leia in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Sarlacc Pit.
The Sarlacc Pit, yeah.
The Sarlacc Pit. Boba Fett going out like a chump to be slowly digested for 1,000 years. That entire rescue scene, the escape, everything that...
We also get a light side Jedi using dark side powers because Luke force chokes the heck out of those two pig guards. When he walks into Jabba's palace, he force casual as F.
No, they weren't choked. They were just knocked unconscious. He force unconscious'd them.
Oh boy.
Search your feelings. You know them to be true. He didn't kill. Wait, hold on. Let me try. Jason, he didn't kill the pig guards.
So at one point, can I tell my new Star Wars joke? All right, ready? What's a Jawa's favorite kind of pasta? Rotini!
The past 2 days, it's been nothing from the sounds of Nutty in the kitchen. Rotini!
Okay, but you loved it the first time you heard it, and you've made that joke a couple times, too.
It is a pretty darn good joke, we must admit.
I was also, by the way, Tech, I was going to respond to you with one of the best lines of the prequel trilogy of, what are you waving your hand in my face for? I only respond to money.
Money. Oh, you had to go there, didn't
hashtag
you?
Hashtag problematic.
All right, who's got another one?
So I'm actually sitting here looking at it right now, and this is probably going to be controversial, but Blade Runner 2049. I like it better than the original Blade Runner.
Fair. I've never seen it.
Oh, okay.
I've seen that all the Blade Runner.
Oh, my gosh.
You like it over the second one?
No, Blade Runner 2049 is the second one.
Okay.
I like Blade Runner 2049 better than the first one.
I can see why, because the first one falls into that same trap of the 80s cinema. It is very slow.
Now, let's get ahead. Like everybody responding, which version of Blade Runner did we watch? I know we've watched a few versions. We've also watched the quote-unquote definitive version. There's definitely a better version. But I think I will agree.
That's one of my problems with that original movie, is because you can't get a definitive... You can't get a definitive version to watch with that movie because the theatrical had flaws, the director cut had flaws, and the definitive had flaws.
Yeah.
And
And the new one had a clear objective.
2049 is a good sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
It's shot art. Well. It's got a good script. I enjoyed them both. I enjoyed 2049. I will say the sequel is better than the original, but just because maybe the sequel as a movie hasn't aged well. Visually, it's still Sid Mead. So the original Blade Runner, that is my future. And come on, Decker's gun, one of the greatest props of all time.
Agreed. But we also get it in the sequel. So.
I want that gun bad.
And
I know it doesn't really work. I know it's just a bolt action rifle on top of a revolver, but I want that gun.
Correct me if I'm wrong. We don't have the disturbing problem of Born Hot yesterday. You know, that's always kind of an awkward thing for me is when we've got the trope of Born Hot yesterday.
Do you know what my favorite Blade Runner sequel is? Fifth Element? No, sorry.
I love the Fifth Element.
How can you not? Speaking of Born Hot yesterday, Lilu Dallas Multipass.
Well, speaking of Luc Besson. Speaking of Luc Besson.
Oh, wait, Jason had something to say.
Oh, go ahead, Jason.
Well, I was going to say that one of the reasons why I also like Blade Runner 2049 is
please.
It sticks with the femme fatale in that movie, but it's Ana de Armas as Joy, the holographic AI.
Mm-hmm.
And her performance in that movie is exquisite.
Yeah.
She's wonderful in that movie.
Yeah.
Like the scene, spoilers, but where she hires the prostitute and then puts herself over the prostitute to make it seem to give herself a real body. And she's trying to please Ryan Gosling's character because she's in love with him. It's wonderful and disturbing, and it's like we're talking about Uncanny Valley, right? Like
that to me, by the way, is the realization of Krieger and his anime girlfriend from Archer.
But no, that scene that alone, and also gives us some great Batista in the beginning of that movie.
Oh yeah, he's so good. You like in such a short scene, you care about him. You really feel for this person.
Mm-hmm.
Can we call him Mini Rock right now? Like, I feel like he's following in the Rock's path.
I feel like he's doing his own thing, though.
Well, he has the Disney money. He's got that Marvel.
He's got that Disney money, yeah.
But, you know, I feel like before
Dave Bautista stands on his own, okay? The Rock is charismatic, and he's done some great things. But most of his movie roles are kind of forgettable until you get to, like, Moana and stuff. Speaking of Disney
you mean
money.
The Rock, yeah.
Yeah, The Rock. But
he doesn't have to act. He just has to be himself.
Yeah.
And his self is fantastic.
Whereas Dave Bautista is actually acting.
But The Rock has even shown up in Wyclef videos. Right. Oh. And he throws the people's eyebrow and the people's elbow. And it's amazing because he's The Rock. But that's all he is The Rock.
Yeah. Is it Get Shorty where he's just a really funny version of himself? I can't remember which one of his early ones.
Now, will tell you, if you haven't seen this, and it's probably gonna come out of left field for me because it's a Michael Bay movie, but Pain and Gain, The Rock is fantastic in that movie. It's based off a real life story from Florida about these three guys, and The Rock plays one of them, and he's wonderful in the movie, so you should definitely check that movie out.
But it's Mark Wahlberg.
Mark. Yeah. Mocky Mock.
But it is also Tony Shalhoub, so I'm torn.
being Tony Shalhoub, he's being another lovable loser.
So you were talking about Fifth Element, and that brings me to Luc Besson,
okay,
who has one of my favorite sequels.
Okay.
The Professional is a sequel to La Femme Nikita.
Mm.
And I know people are going to be upset because everyone's like, La Femme Nikita, that's like cinema history. But The Professional is such an amazing movie.
It's not a sequel.
It's the same character.
Okay, so he had Jean Reno on set playing a cleaner on a mob hit in the original La Femme Nikita that he did in France. And the character was so popular and he liked working with Jean Reno so much that he brought the character back in Leon the Professional. It's to call it a sequel... It's like a continuation of the same universe, but it's not the same story. It's
right because we're not following Nikita.
No, we're not following La Femme Nikita. We're not following.
We could say it's a spinoff.
We won't talk about the TV series.
No. We are not talking about the TV series at all because that is horrible garbage.
What?
All of them.
I watched it so much.
The USA one, yeah, I like the USA one. I also like the USA Net.
USA, characters welcome.
We had like 5 channels. So.
Yeah, but when they go on and they say that, oh, you know, she was found guilty of a crime that she didn't commit and she was innocent the whole time in the robbery. No, she was guilty as hell.
She murdered the heck out that.
Murdered the heck out that dude. And that's the awesome part about the character. It's the redeeming arc. It's the whole thing. But this American claptrap of villains and heroes, you know,
don't watch the Bridget Fonda one.
No, and the whole A-Team thing, they were released, they escaped from a maximum security stockade where they were put in for a crime they didn't commit. Who cares?
Okay.
Why do they have to be?
I agree. I agree
100%. I hate that trope.
So there is a character from season 4 of Veronica Mars that J.K. Simmons plays that is somebody who unapologetically.
Schillinger from Oz?
Yes. Unapologetically says, yes, I was in prison. I did bad things. I'm doing better. He's not doing better. He's still shady, but.
Is he playing Schillinger from Oz? Because that'd be awesome.
No, he's not. But you find that you can feel for this person and you understand his motivations. And when he succeeds, you're cheering for him. You're rooting for him. And I like that. I like the character that, yeah, they are guilty. And yeah, maybe they're not heroes or perfect, but they still have like a code or a morality that they're going for. And it's, well, fair is fair. You know, it's, they're not going out of their way to hurt people. But if this scumbag dies because I let him die or because I make sure it happens, okay. I kind of like that in fiction.
You know,
The Professional.
It's one of the things that some people can't agree with when it comes to like the Punisher, because some people don't like the Punisher because he does kill bad guys.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he does have a moral code. And if you also look at things like Tombstone, characters like Doc Holliday, his only moral code and his only thing that he upholds is his friendship with Kurt Russell's character, Wyatt Earp, you know, and, but
Kurt
that's
Russell's
that,
character. You can't remember Doc Holliday's best friend.
Yeah, you know what? Doc Holliday wins that movie. He'll be your Huckleberry, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's that type of character because technically Doc Holliday's a scoundrel. He's not a good dude. Like, he's not. Like, he's a cheat, a swindler, a womanizer, a drinker, and he's dying of tuberculosis and he just don't care. But you like that character. And at the end, when he does die, and he has that revelation, which is one of the best parts of the movie, where he dies and the camera and they even actually kind of highlight it, where he looks down and sees that his boots are off as he dies in that bed. It's a very great redeeming moment for him because he always says that he would die with his boots on. He would probably be shot dead in the streets.
Completely unrelated, but I will say that Doc Holliday from the Winona Earp TV show, you will absolutely love. He's one of the best parts of that show. It's not a great show, but it's the characters are so fun. And Doc Holliday is he's basically cursed, and so he's still alive in modern day, and right. He's just fantastic.
All right, friends, I'm going to bring us all the way back to sequels.
Yes, do
and
this.
Okay,
I'm going to bring up one that isn't out yet that I'm hopeful for.
Okay.
Ooh. Okay.
Top Gun Maverick.
You think that might be better than the original?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
I just want it to
okay.
be.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of reasons I'm in, reasons I joined the Army.
Yeah, I don't think the odds are in your favor here.
I have loved that movie, the original Top Gun. I go back, I watch this every now and then. It is horrible. It is such a piece of popcorn chewing cinema claptrap.
We talked about it. That is the Lost Nutty Bites episode.
I love that horrible movie. I'm going to hit the brakes. We're going to float right on by.
But you know what, though? That movie helped a lot of people figure it out.
Yes, it did.
Oh, absolutely.
If only we didn't lose that episode.
You know, there are sexual awakenings that have happened to that movie. Now, whether it was the shirtless volleyball scene or Kelly McGillis, either way, you had some kind of awakening to this movie. And it's just the motorbike, the leather jacket, the... No, you spelled goose wrong. It's got two O's. Just I just love everything about that movie. And now Maverick, which
is just cool.
It is cool. It is so cool. And it's got one of the greatest airplanes of all time, the pride of Long Island, the F-14 Tomcat.
All the way, baby.
All the way, baby. Who is the true star of that movie? And what do we get? What do we get as a sequel? We get F-18s. But from the trailers that I've watched,
I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a very different viewing experience for me, because I'm not going to have the supervisor of the F-14 crew from Grumman whispering in my ear throughout the entire movie.
Who happens to be a family friend of yours.
Yes, yes. Because we watched that on VHS and he was sitting like right here as I was sitting on the floor, and he's like, well, that's like this and that's like this and that's like that.
But the
was it accurate? Was he happy about that?
Yeah, most things were all right. Sure. What I'd really like to do is I'd love to like watch some Apollo movie or something, you know, moon landing movie with him, because he actually did the welding on the lamb. That would be cool.
Oh, okay.
The lamb, sorry.
So, but to go back to Top Gun, everything I've seen in the trailers, it looks like it's got the stunts done with real planes. Now, some of the stunts, they had to use computer compositing to go in, make the planes fly closer together, or they changed an F-18 into the Aurora, which doesn't really exist. It's not a real airplane. And you see it in the last thing of the trailer that, you know, the Aurora flies over the desert. Yeah, they used a real F-18 to shoot the scene and then composited this other thing over top. So there's some things that they had to use computers for, but that's fine. They still used real planes. The humor is there. The action is there. The fun is going to be there.
Messed up hot guys playing volleyball, though.
No. This time it's a shirtless football on the beach. It's not basketball. It's not volleyball. It's football this time. But it's still there.
Much more contact.
Yeah, but they still need to be liberal with that baby oil, though.
By the way, and this is why we love having Jen on the podcast.
That's why we like Jen on the podcast?
One of the many reasons.
There you go. The diverse elements as.
Yes.
So... Right. So,
but I want it to be good, and I want it to be so good that it's better than the original.
So, Jason, do you have another thing that is better than the original?
Every sequel past Fast and the Furious 4, so 5, 6, 7, and 8, are all better.
I got only one of them for you. I'll say Hobbs and Shaw is better than all of them.
That is also true.
I agree.
But Paul Walker died in Fate 7. They gave him his send-off in 7.
Okay. Was it 7?
But 3. I have to add 3 to your list.
Tokyo Drift?
The stunts. The actual driving that they did. The movie? Reese Millen driving. Are any of them good movies?
No. None of them.
It's cinematic garbage with cool cars. What?
Look, the reason why 5, 6, 7, and 8 are better than those first 3 is because The Rock is introduced in 5, and that was when they stopped being about racing movies, and they start being about stupid action movies based around cars, where at one point or another, they jump a Lamborghini.
Is it still all about family?
Of course, about family. We're drinking around this picnic table.
Look. Okay.
After Paul Walker died, like, that character, it stopped being about family. It was all about money.
By the way, that is one of the best send-offs I've seen for a character in a movie. Yeah. That's a fantastic send-off.
It was pretty cool.
But they do jump a Lamborghini from one skyscraper in Dubai to another, so...
I'll spoil it for you. It wasn't a real Lamborghini.
It wasn't.
And it probably wasn't a real skyscraper either.
No, but those were real Nissan Skylines in 350Zs and Silvias. Now, I have to say, problematic Tokyo Drift 3. There was one car that was entirely designed to look like the Incredible Hulk. It did even have big giant fists on the side. Not the coolest car on the planet.
But I bet it makes some great Hot Wheels.
You know why that movie doesn't win for me?
Because Jen likes it.
No. Hot Wheels in that movie.
Oh,
right, he's driving the Incredible Hulk car.
I know. He's the worst. I don't know what's worse, that guy's country accent or Little Bow Wow at all in that movie.
Shane, do you have another one?
Yes. I'm going to stretch this ever so slightly, the premise of this episode, ever so slightly, because it's not really... It's TV...
If it's what I think it is, I'm going to defend that it's a sequel.
I know. I was going to go for Blackadder.
Oh, okay. Yeah, actually, I will also defend, because each series is a sequel.
Right, and because they tell different stories, but they're set in the same world. It has the same cast, but everyone, and I will, okay, so what's
And production-wise, I don't think that they thought they were going to get more series after they did the first one.
Right, so so what's your thought here? Which one of, so of the Blackadder series, which one do you like the most?
Blackadder that goes forth, the World War One one.
Right. I agree, I agree.
Yeah, it's so good.
The one with Hugh Laurie, the one with Bob.
Bob.
I'll have to watch them because I've never seen a single episode like
classic that. British comedy.
So Rowan Atkinson plays a character named Edmund Blackadder, who is just a snake. He is the absolute worst in the British aristocracy, and he's always trying to improve his station and do these horrible things. And he has his idiot manservant Baldric, who always has a cunning plan, not cunning at all. And the thing is that every series, they're like a standard British series. I think they're only like 6 or 8 episodes each. But each series is a different moment in time where you're watching a different person in the Blackadder family. So the first one's in the Dark Ages. The second is in the Renaissance. The third is in the Industrial Revolution. And the fourth is in the Great War, where they're they even did a movie called Blackadder Back and Forth, where he's flipping through different periods in time all the way back to the Romans. That's the one where Stephen Fry has got that Roman kilt that keeps getting shorter and shorter and shorter every time the camera cuts back to him until it's just a belt and he's wearing tidy whities. It's horrid.
6 episodes each.
But it is pure genius. And the first one, I think they were really struggling to figure out where they were going, because the first one, I find it hard to watch, Shane. It's not nearly as funny as the other ones were.
No. Well, and like many TV shows, sometimes it takes a bit to get your footing. And, you know, maybe the Beeb wasn't willing to let them go as far as they wanted to. Maybe they needed to work together enough to get that chemistry. There's lots of speculation there.
The ending to Blackadder Goes Forth with them going over the top.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to talk about Buffy.
Oh, that is on my list as well.
Because to me, I was like, well, Buffy's an adaptation. And no, it's not. Buffy is a sequel because it's continuing from what happened in the movie. Now, they do kind of retcon a couple things, but it is 100% a sequel. And it is by far superior to the movie.
Definitely.
I love the movie, by the way, but it's still far superior.
I've actually never seen the movie. I bought it a couple of months ago. I bought it a couple of months ago and it's still downstairs on my desk.
Go ahead.
I've watched that movie so many times.
It has like the best death scene.
The best death scene of any movie.
One of my favorite Pee Wee Herman roles ever.
So he reprises that role, by the way, on What We Do in the Shadows, the FX TV show.
Oh, is he in
Which
there?
Is, by the way, a sequel of the movie.
Yeah, there's a council of vampires, and he shows up as a council member.
It's him, it's Tilda Swinton, it's like all of these different famous vampires, including Wesley Snipes. They don't call him Blade, they call him Wesley Snipes. And he's Skyping in, because he couldn't make it.
That's awesome. By the way, Pee Wee Herman, he's in
Paul
Gotham.
Rubens.
Paul Rubens.
Yeah, Paul Rubens in Gotham.
That's
and
who?
He plays, if I'm not mistaken, he plays, I want to say the Penguin's
father. No, that's Rob. Oh, yeah, I think you're right. I think he might.
He's wonderful.
It's a very, very brief, episode. Yeah.
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 And Carol Kane plays the mom. So they're both great for that role, yeah.
But so I didn't realize that this was the third part installment of a trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
But National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. Christmas Vacation, European Vacation, both of them are better than the original, and Christmas Vacation, I agree. That is
Because the original
one.
Is them going to that theme park.
Wally World.
Right, yeah, but European and Christmas are by far better, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
And Christmas Vacation is still one of my favorite Christmas movies. Like that scene of him in the attic watching those old 8mm films of his family and just having that moment is really, really good. And it's very touching. And like, it shows you a very good example of what it's like to just have a large family on Christmas. Like it's chaotic. It's over the top. And sometimes, you know, there's those family members like, you know, hey, you know, the blank is full and he's outside emptying the RV's, you know, waste tank. There's just so many just awkward moments in that movie that happen when you have a large family that I just love it.
So when you say large, you mean like your family's large?
Nutty, we know you have 2.5 billion members of your family.
I don't have that many.
We know your family is a borough of New York. We know that. Like literally they are a borough.
The really funny thing is we're not even the biggest family from my hometown.
Yes, but that other very large family from your neighborhood, are they also Irish Catholic?
Yeah.
And there you go, because you're all cousins.
Well, I don't know where they're from, and I think they may be more Irish. And we're not the only two. It's something about, there's something in the water, man, okay?
Really?
But, no, if you want to know what it's like to be part of a large family, what is that Adam Sandler movie? The first serious one he did with all
Punch, Drunk, Love.
When he's at, it's not even that many people, but there's like his sisters are just talking.
He's the youngest of seven.
That's what it's like.
That entire movie is watching a panic attack in slow-mo.
But if you watch that movie, you know what it was like for me growing up. But yes, Christmas Vacation is number one, the best of the National Lampoon Vacation movies.
The Christmas lights, just that stupid gag of the lights, or the Christmas tree where the cat dies, or the tree goes up in flames. I mean, these are gags that are still known today that, I mean, there was I read a news story a little while ago at Christmas where there was a guy that had recreated the Griswold's Christmas light display in its entirety on his lawn, and one of his neighbors got so mad that he drove his pickup truck over the lawn and smashed all the lights.
Dude, nice. It's just, again, all of you A Christmas Story people out there can fight me, but Christmas Vacation,
A Christmas Story is not a good movie, okay? It's like, not, we have a lot of memes from it and everything, but they're horrible.
You put your eye out, kid.
Like, they do not care. Everybody is horrible. That is not, it doesn't make you happy at the end of it. I mean, Home Alone has more fuzzy, warm feelings, and they forget this kid at home three times.
Actually.
Okay, one time he gets lost at the connection flight.
If I'm not mistaken, there's four or five of those movies now.
Whatever.
He even brought the character back for an episode of Angry Video Game Nerd.
Best.
Isn't it good?
He did it for a commercial, too, for Alexa, if I'm not mistaken. Or either Amazon or Google, I can't remember. Literally doing the whole, like, Macaulay Culkin, like, in the robe, shaving his face, doing the slap in the cheeks. And then he's like, Alexa, order such and such or whatever. I mean, he's as Kevin.
See, you should have continued that, because anybody that's listening to this on speakers in their home would then just order a cheese pizza with extra sauce. That's what he orders, isn't it?
Hey, Alexa.
Censorship is good.
Okay, that's cruel. You don't say that. I'm going to have to dub that one out. We're going to have to put completely necessary censorship on that one. No, it's Alexa, please order me a cheese pizza with extra sauce. It's funny. Or Alexa, go to the Nutty Bites Patreon page. You know, those are fun.
Hey, Alexa, play the greatest hits of Tiny Tim.
Oh.
Oh, Alexa, play Pizza Underground. Macaulay Culkin's is it digital? Not Digital Underground. No, it's not Digital Underground. But it's a cover band of that group. They do about pizza.
So back to sequels.
Can I throw a dishonorable mention in here?
In a minute.
I want to do.
We're
going to
have a whole round of dishonorables.
Okay.
I need to mention that Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness, and Army of Darkness specifically, are far superior to Evil Dead 1.
That's because Evil Dead 1 is an actual horror movie.
And porno.
yeah, that isn't really good. Whereas Evil Dead 2 is just an acid trip waiting to happen.
And then Army of Darkness is just perfect.
Hey, She-Witch, come get some.
Shop smart. Shop S-Smart.
This is my boomstick. Also, Ash versus the Evil Dead sequel series, wonderful.
I've watched a couple episodes. I need to finish. I just haven't gotten that far. But yeah, so Army of Darkness is 100% up there. I have another TV show, not to just steamroll everyone, but I do want to wrap things up. I do want to say that MASH, I don't know if, I think it's a sequel. It might be an adaptation. It's much better than the original movie. Oh, yeah. The movie is awful. Don't even bother. Just watch the show.
Ending of MASH. Ugh.
Yeah. Okay. Let's not go there. I don't want to cry.
So, to bring it up a little bit, but not too much, because it involves a really good actor who's no longer with us. Mission Impossible 3 with William Seymour Hoffman as the villain. It's the J.J. Abrams one.
So it's better than the first?
Absolutely, it
but
is.
But you said it was J.J. Abrams. I'm confused.
Yeah. I'm not happy with him right now. But Philip Seymour Hoffman in Mission Impossible 3 is fantastic.
I only watched the first one. Do you have any other sequels? We're going to rapid fire this.
No.
Okay. Shane, do you have any other sequels?
Not off the top of my head. If I do think of one, I'll jump in.
Yeah.
Tech.
No, I'm just ready for the dishonorable mentions.
All right, Jason, do you have any mentions?
I've got one.
Okay.
That is the future part two.
Agreed.
Nice.
Oh.
Agreed.
This is, yet again, this is my stupid brain. I can't separate the trilogy.
Well, because it wasn't really meant to be separated because they just filmed them all together.
But they're so good.
I know, and the third one.
Okay, so the second one, the only reason it's really good is because it predicted the future. Because if you look at what's going on right now.
And we didn't learn from it.
We didn't learn anything.
We also didn't learn from Idiocracy, so.
No, but oof.
We're in it.
The only thing I have to say is to steal a word from Jason, and I'll say it again. It's oof.
So there you go. Jason. You just saw one?
Yeah, so Jason is totally browsing this article, and Adam's Family Values, so much better.
Really?
None of them were as good as the original TV show.
Oh, you shut your mouth, because Christina Ricci was amazing.
Yeah, and she helped me figure some things out in life.
Yeah, I've totally been, streamlining the original Adam's Family TV show. It's been great. Literally.
It is great.
They got Fester so wrong. So wrong.
Yeah.
And I love the original Addams Family, and the movies fell flat for me.
I will say, though, Addams Family Values. Eat me. Or, I am a turkey.
I am a turkey.
Eat me.
That whole scene at the camp where they put Wednesday into that hut with the Disney movies to try to make her friendly and being attacked by the horrible Debbies.
I love it. And by the way, the horrible Debbies, and she was also in the first one, is Mercedes McNabb, who's Harmony from Buffy.
So,
which makes it even better because that's her role in Buffy.
Last one, Jay, go.
Since you did The Professional as a sequel to Femkita, I'm going to go with The Cat Returns as the spiritual
sequel. That's not fair. You can't talk about it. We haven't watched it yet.
I'm not talking about it, but I'm just saying The Cat Returns.
Why, Nutty, for our listeners and our viewers on Twitch, is there a series of podcasts that we're doing about the Studio Ghibli movies?
We are, and I think Palm Coco is our next one, so we still need to watch it and record about it.
Right, because we're doing
Intro to Ghibli.
The Intro to Ghibli, where the two of us who haven't seen the movies yet are being led by our friendly
veterans,
Jen and Jason, that are leading us through these movies.
And The Cat Returns is a sequel to
of the Heart, my least favorite Ghibli movie.
One of my least favorite.
We've already seen and we love talking about, and it's where we learned that Country Road is actually a cover that was originally done by a 14-year-old Japanese girl.
John Denver did not write that song. It was written by a 12-year-old Japanese girl. I also learned that Carrie Ells is a cat.
Yes.
And I don't like that movie because I'm not an 11-year-old girl.
Well, you liked it better than Jason.
You did. You did like it better than me.
Right.
It, Again, it is still my least favorite Ghibli movie.
And you're just wrong, so that's fine. That's fine. You're allowed to be wrong. I'm going to close this up.
Wait, Dishonorable.
Wait. Go ahead, Jen.
I said to hear more of this argument, just check out the podcast.
Yeah, just check out the podcast. Go back in the feed, listen to us talk about Whisper of the Heart. But I'm going to close up our positives with Fury Road being a sequel to Mad Max.
Okay. Oh, so shiny and chrome.
Fury Road was so good. It made our car movie list. The cars, the action, the desert, the everything. Really cool thing about that movie, shot in sequential order.
And practical effects. Oh. So those cars got messed up for real.
Yes. So good.
Tom Hardy, we don't get to see part of his face.
That's just Tom. I don't think he has a bottom half of his face.
I'm telling you, if his face is covered, it's a good movie.
I'm just saying, I'm pretty sure that helped a lot of people figure out that they want to tie up Tom Hardy and keep him as a horn ornament.
So, dishonorable mentions, I'm hoping that what you all have for me are really dishonorable because
yes,
it's par for the course that the sequel isn't better. So tell me, what are your dishonorable mentions?
Shane, go first.
Matrix 2 and 3.
I don't know what you're talking about. There was only one Matrix movie.
There was only one Matrix movie. They've never made sequels. I am living in my happy world. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la. I'm not listening. La-la-la-la.
I just don't know what you're talking about. If you've ever listened to this podcast, you know there was only one Matrix movie.
All right, Shane.
That Animatrix featurette, though, thing.
The Animatrix was
that was
very
cool.
Good.
But they never made
sequels. But Shane, why is Matrix 2 and 3 so bad?
Well, the first Matrix film was amazing. It was actually the first DVD I ever bought. Back in 1989. God, that makes me sound so old.
You're still younger than us. Keep going.
That DVD, if it's still in your collection, is legal to drink in the United States now.
Good point. The second and third films, I mean, what's the story? Can anybody actually tell me the actual story of the films?
I don't know, because they never made them.
It was a confusing mess.
I will say that The Matrix was a great sequel to Johnny Mnemonic.
Oh. Okay. So there is a special place in hell reserved for all of the Disney direct-to-DVD sequels. So we're just going to lump
even
all
though
of-
I enjoyed Lion King and a half or some whatever it was.
I enjoyed Aladdin too.
But no.
They are all, and because most of them don't have the same cast, they didn't get the same songwriters, it's not the same, it's just an attempt to shoehorn in more money. And
I've got a real dishonorable one for you on that one, though.
Okay.
Pocahontas 2. Who said, let's take this dreck and make a sequel about the rapiest part of Pocahontas' life?
Oh. Right, so as I was scraping the bottom of the barrel, you scraped even deeper. Well done, Nutty. Kapow.
So I've got another one, but not because it was a bad film, but because it's a good idea just screaming to get out, but the studio ruined it.
Okay.
The Crow 2.
Oh, that was horrible.
It never existed.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jen. That goes with the Matrix.
They should have let the series die.
You read the original script and you know what they were going to do with it.
Oh, there's a lot of things that if you read the original script, you're like, "Whoa, that was actually a good movie."
Yeah, but they filmed 95% of the original script. The studio saw it and they said, "It's not the film we wanted." And so they cut. I don't know how much they cut, but they must have cut about 30 to 40 minutes out of the film.
Yeah.
And now that's what the jacket we had.
So, dishonorable mentions, Jen and Jason?
Do you want to go first, Jen?
No, go ahead.
So, I've got three. Two of which, they're... So, Staying Alive, Grease 2, and The Chronicles of Riddick. The Chronicles of Riddick is trash. It should have never existed. Staying Alive is not... I don't care how good John Travolta did. And Grease 2 has no John Travolta dancing, so it is terrible.
And is also got the whole problematic rapey bits, which are, yeah. Do it for your country! The Russians are bombing!
Oh, God.
Really?
Although Jen hates me every time I bring up Chronicles of Riddick.
Like Chronicles of Riddick.
I will admit, though, that I did enjoy Grease 2 growing up. But as an adult, I'm like, oh, that's not good.
I know Raven is screaming at the stream right now because she likes Grease 2 better than Grease.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that like it better than Grease.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Really? You're not. You know what? You're not missing anything.
I never saw Grease.
What? You've never seen John Travolta swinging those hips and singing?
He's not staying alive.
Yeah, well.
I have seen. I saw Saturday Night Fever. I have seen enough of the scenes of Grease. I'm sorry. When they're building their car with the blah, 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 blah overdrive and all of it, which is just a fancy name for an automatic transmission. Who cares? But when they lower the plexiglass hood onto that 32 Ford, I lost my mind. That car is such crap. I never want to see the rest of that movie. Such a flaming dumpster fire of a hot rod. And that's not even the car they use for the rest of the movie. And then the car flies to the moon. Like, literally flies to the moon.
It's a metaphor.
What's a metaphor? Such garbage.
I will say, it's all sorts of, but I will say that it's not Staying Alive. Yeah, Staying Alive is the sequel, right, to Saturday Night Fever? Yeah, yeah, that one is far worse. It's just so, so bad.
So. Not that Saturday Night Fever is a good movie. It's actually pretty bad, but...
She made fun of my hair, Ma. I mean, just don't touch my hair, okay?
Okay, it's a horrible movie, but it has an amazing soundtrack, which is argumentative fact in this house, because disco wins over funk any day.
Oh, that is so wrong.
Whoa.
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 Whoa. No. I'm sorry, but in this house, we love the funk. Gotta have the funk. Bring in the funk.
I mean, because
who doesn't love the funk?
because we're all Atomic Dogs.
If I could interrupt for 2 seconds, the master of funk, Craig Charles, is playing my town in a few months.
Ooh, I'm not sure I'd call him the master of funk, but I would enjoy going to see Lister play. Will he be playing Craig Charles?
Oh, I love the song.
No, I never saw this movie, but I know from reputation that it counts as a dishonorable mention.
Yes.
And that would be Son of the Mask.
I was just going to say that. Bye.
Sorry.
Jamie Kennedy is not.
There was a sequel to The Mask?
Apparently.
Yeah. And trying to be Jim Carrey, and it ain't happening. Oof. Just oof.
Okay. One more dishonorable?
Yes.
Seed of Chucky.
Go ahead.
Ooh. I'm done.
and I'm sorry. This is another one of those foundation movies that made Lil Techie who he is today, but everything after the first Iron Eagle.
There were sequels?
Oh, yes. Iron Eagle 3, they brought back World War II veterans and their original planes, and even the Japanese guy who goes kamikaze in his Zero, but they all love him because they've forgiven him because of the war, and it's just, they are bad.
Okay, there's just some things that we need to just...
But the thing is the whole premise to Iron Eagle was this guy gets kidnapped, and his son has to go get him, so his son steals an airplane. But when you get into the sequel, it's like, my dad's been kidnapped again. It's like Prison Break. Okay, Prison Break 1, you have to get out of jail. Prison Break 2, I'm in jail again. It's like, what is wrong with you?
I never saw the sequel, but didn't Taken have a sequel? Like, come on, how many times are you going to kidnap?
Yeah, what is wrong with your daughter? At this point, is she Princess Peach? Like, what's going on?
And those were our picks. What did you pick as sequels that are better than the original? Or... if you've got some dishonorable mentions, let us know. Chris in the chat did say if we expand a little, the Magicians TV show is supposed to be much better than the books. I haven't seen or read these. I don't know. Is that an adaptation or a sequel? I'll put it out there. You guys, why don't you let me know? You can get our links to tell us this in the outro. But before we do that, Shane, where can people hear you on the internet?
Mainly on the Red Wolf Intercast. Well, we talk about the Red Dwarf show. We've done all the series now. However, they keep making them. Yeah, they keep making them. They're actually making them as we speak.
Which I kind of think they don't need to. I think they ended it the last series. They ended it on a high note. There's some really good episodes. Some of them not so great, but I think that we ended at such a great point that unless they do something with Kachansky, do we really need to revisit it and bring back Hilly?
As a fan, I just need to mention that her name rhymes with Underpansky.
I'm not sure Jason has gotten to that episode.
No, I've not, but it's fine.
But, you know, in a related note, you can listen to Jason's musings on the first three episodes of Red Dwarf by going to...
You can find everything we do over at nerdswithvoices.com. You can find us on Twitter at nerdswithvoices. And you can come join us in our Facebook group at Nerds with Voices, because at Nerds with Voices, everyone has a voice. See, I didn't slip up. I got it. I did it. See, Jim gave me a pat on the back. You see that? I got
literally.
Mom praised me. Yay.
Yay. And before we sign out, I just wanted to make sure that we thanked our patrons, because without our patrons, we would not be giving you two episodes a month.
Not those guys again.
I know. I know. But we would not be able to give you two episodes a month. And with your patronage, even at the $1 rate, if you have a promo for a project, whether it's a podcast, a YouTube show, something you do online, or even something in reality, or maybe you're not doing anything, but you want to support someone else, you send me that promo and I throw it in the podcast and you get thanked like I'm about to. And if you back us at higher levels, once a year, you get art. You get t-shirts. There's all different levels that you can back us at. And last year, everyone got a surprise. They got a really fun homemade pin by me of Rory, who is so kawaii. So you never know what I'm going to do to thank you all. So thank you so much to our top tier.
There's the pin.
Big Daddy patron, Jax. We want to thank Jason. Thanks, Jason. He's right here. We want to thank Mark Cabot. We want to thank Andy Luke. We want to thank Susanna, Mark the Encaffeinated One, Shane. Hi, Shane.
Hi, Shane.
Hi.
Will, Zach Mann, Greg Larson, The Radical Geek, Steve Pritchard, Susan, Lynette McFadden, Melissa, the Bathtub Mermaid, Harold, Ian, Rich the TT, Patrick Scafito, Ken Kennedy, Kinsey, Mike, Justine, and Dagny. Thank you so much, everyone, for helping us pay for our server costs and bring you two episodes a month. Thanks.
Hey, and I want to say one thing. For all you thinking you're the big daddy out there, well, I'm coming for you, brother. We're going to get down on some basketball, brother. I'm going to dunk on all you big daddies, brother.
He's still beating you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I want to see the big daddy basketball match.
This is not the podcast promo you're looking for. Because Aurora Lee is not a podcaster. She wouldn't even record her own ad. She's a travel photographer who also enjoys a bit of geeky experimentation. Lego Star Wars minifig Valentine's anyone? Like many other creatives, she wants to share her physical art with everyone. But also, maybe not go broke doing it. Support her over on Patreon, and she'd love to send you art for you, your wall, and even your friends. Patreon.com/AuroraLee. AuroraLee.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios under a Creative Commons Attribution No Commercial Non-Derivatives 3.0 International License. That means you can't change it without my permission. You can share it and send it to your friends. Just link back to me, my site, and everything. We live at nimlas.org, which has links to everything social media, including facebook.com/group/nuttybites and patreon.com/nukejoss, or call 347-NUTTY42.